It's great to be here, and I'm so excited for you guys. This is awesome. What can I say? I haven't been traveling this much with Peter. I've got full care of my mom. She has Alzheimer's, and now we're just stepping into a whole new phase. She's fighting cancer, and if I could just give you something that'll encourage you all who are walking through. I don't think anybody in this room hasn't got some challenges. I already met a few people this morning, and do you know, if I could give you my $1 million coin for the past year and a half, could I give you that? I think it's worth more than $1 million, all right? He really showed me a real key. I was talking to John Arnott the other night about that. Something John and Carol modeled when we first fell in love with them. We didn't fall in love with the vineyard or a movement. We fell in love with a couple who modeled something really real. And when we met them in 89, no matter where we were or what situation, when you really know is when there's not a podium and no one else is looking, then you really know someone. And I know these guys, and they live it. I said, I grabbed John's hand. I said, you know what you gave me most of all as a missionary burnt out coming back? And I would sit on the back row and he'd say, come on, Heather, say hello to the nice people. And I'd say, no, I don't like people. You know, he's good. Not a good situation for missionaries, right? But they just loved and accepted. And I said, you know, in that state, and I had nothing to offer, something you lived switched me out of it more than anything. You know, this generation isn't going to do what you say because talk is cheap and there's a lot of words. They're going to do what you do. And I said, John, you and Carol especially showed us to be grateful. They'd be thanking Jesus. If you sit with them, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You'll hear it. It's not fake. It's not Christianese. They live it. But I said, John, I said, do you know that's the number one manifestation of trust? May not mean that you understand. I mean, we were about to launch and do our warm-ups for a whole different movement called Next for the Next Generation. We thought January 2nd. But my mother is priority above everything else. She is, because she is the kingdom of God. She's very close to going there. And there's been other family emergencies just in the past 2 weeks. And you know what? I just want us all to just say this. Thank you, Father. Just whatever your circumstance, it isn't being fake and thanking you for hard times or wondering where you're going to live or how you're... No. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that the very center and the true gospel is Jesus Christ. We thank you that in the worst and hardest days, we have you, Jesus. In the best, too. So, Lord, it's a win-win situation. And, Father, best we can, we just give you, we give you thanks. And, Lord, we're fronting to you. We're trusting you today. Thank you, God. And bless you guys. Just thankfulness. It's really easy to focus on what you do have. You guys have a group that meets locally in Scarborough. That's awesome. Awesome. And you have people that you can grow and actually be my brother's keeper. Is that not great? Yay. So, great to be here.
Yeah, that's great to be here. We left early this morning because we live up in Wasaga Beach, which is almost 2 hours away. But thankfully, it wasn't freezing rain. We didn't slide down. I just wanted to mention some resources that I brought along that you might be interested in. How many of you know what an MP3 CD is? Oh, not too many. Okay, well, this is a CD that actually has 7 hours of teaching on it. And unfortunately, it doesn't play on older CD players. It plays on computers or in, say, a CD player that's within the last 5 years. So that's available at the back, and that's Heather and I speaking at the School of Ministry in Toronto last year. So it's up to date and current. And what's in that CD is on the back, if you want to read that. It's called The Glory of Sonship. Okay, that one. And then those are 20. These ones are 15, and they're power-soaking CDs. Power-soaking means that they're messages that I've spoken that a friend of mine, Rob Critchley, has put to music with special effects. And this is the latest one. It's on the Father's Love. It's called Hope. And we have a little sample of that if you want to just play a bit of that.
And who's the singer on that?
My daughter and your daughter. And then we have two other ones. This one is called Unashamed, coming out of shame into honor, which I'm going to speak on this morning. And then this is one you don't want to play when you're driving, okay? This is lots of fun, joy, waves, good time.
And really, to be quite honest with you, up until I had this revelation of the Father, I didn't want anything to do with him. In my heart, I was saying, if you're anything like my earthly father, no thanks. I don't need another disappointment. Do you know what the lie was that I bought into? It's better not to expect anything, not to expect anything, and be disappointed. You know, it's really whatever will be. If something good happens, great. But don't get your hopes up. It's just better not to expect anything than to be disappointed again. So really what I was doing, I was living by fate, not by faith. Because fate is whatever will be. Et sera, sera. That was really what was in my heart towards God the Father from relationship with my earthly father. You see, these things are formed in us from the time we're born. We're either taught to hope in our fathers or we're taught not to. We have fathers who are faithful, to keep their promises, keep their word. Or we have fathers who just disappointed us, or just didn't want anything to do with us. I remember praying for this girl a few years ago where the day she was born, her father saw that she was a girl and handed her back to her mother and said, I wanted a boy. You can have this one. And you know, that went right into her spirit, that rejection. And from that moment on, unconsciously, she was trying to be the little boy that her father always wanted. And she dressed masculine. She had a masculine spirit. When I first met her, I didn't realize that she was a woman. I mean, she just had a masculine spirit. When she got set free from this, oh my gosh, you talk about a transformation. All that femininity, it was like a rose that's still in bud. But once it came into bloom, oh man, she looked like a woman. She had this beauty. She had this glory. Because all her life she'd been living under the curse of being an unwanted child.
So each one of those power soaking CDs have that music backing with special effects. So they're great just to spend, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes. Just let that. I mean, people have emailed me and, you know, listened to that, especially that Unashamed CD over 100 times, and it's still going in. A few years ago, I was actually on my way to do a Father Heart conference with John and Carol in San Jose, California, and I was just coming out of the airport, and I see this billboard that's advertising for a cell phone company. And the in big, bold print, it just said simply, I do, therefore I am. I do, therefore I am. And as I'm thinking about that, the Holy Spirit says to me, what's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? And as I thought about it, that's what makes the world go round. I do, therefore I am. If you ask people who they are, they tell you what they do. Yeah. Who are you? Oh, I'm a dentist, lawyer, doctor. I'm a garbage collector. You know, and according to what they do, their value is set. And it's something that's ingrained into us from the beginning of our lives, especially if we've had performance-orientated parents. We've been in a school system that's performance-orientated. So, you know, if you do well, you're worth more. If you don't do well, you're worth less. And according to what you do is who you are. Now, in the kingdom of God, it is the opposite, isn't it? It is, he did, therefore I am. He did, therefore I am. I have the same righteousness as Jesus has before the Father based on what Jesus did. I am as righteous to the Father as Jesus. I am as right to the Father as Jesus is. All by my faith in what Jesus did. And what Jesus did on the cross was an unfinished work. It is finished. Is there anything else he can add to it? It is complete. So what Jesus did 2,000 years ago by dying on that cross for you makes you complete in the Father. He didn't leave anything out, did he? He didn't leave any of your sins out. He didn't leave any of your shame out. He didn't leave any of your inability to be perfect, to be acceptable. He did a complete work on the cross. He declared, just before he was taken to heaven and received by the Father, he declared, it is finished. So I want to declare over you today, it is finished. There's nothing more you can add to what Jesus did. All you can do is believe what he did. That's the hard part. That's the hard part, is really believing. See, for years I believed that, you know, because I was raised in an Anglican church, but I never understood that I needed to be personally born again. I didn't understand that Jesus was my personal Savior. I understood that he died for the sin of the whole world, but I didn't understand the implication that had on my life. Until, you know, I got to that place where I tried to find love in all the wrong places and thought, I'll try God. And as I tried God, guess what? He was there. And when I asked, he was more than willing to show up and show me that he died for me. That it was just for me. And if it was just for me, if I was the only one, Jesus and the Father loved me that much, they would have died. He would have died for me on that cross. So what does that make me? Incredibly valuable. Incredibly valuable. For nothing I will ever do. I have the same value in heaven as Jesus has to the Father. I am an adopted son. And in heaven, there's no stigma about being a natural or an adopted son. I am one with Christ. I am adopted by Abba Father. I've been seated where Christ is in the Father. Whoa! I am one with the Father. You know what would be an incredible tragedy? For you to live your whole life as a Christian and still be trying to earn what you've been freely given. Still trying to do something in order to be something. When from the beginning, the day you believed in Jesus, you are a complete success in your Abba Father's eyes. And when you believed in Jesus, the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased." You know, there's an interesting scripture here, and it seems like a paradox, but it's in Hebrews chapter 4. Whoa! It says here, well, I'll start with Hebrews 3:19. It says, "So we see that they were not able to enter," talking about Israel, "because of their unbelief." They were not able to enter the promised land. They were not able to enter rest because of their unbelief. You know, all God is looking for today is believing believers. Who don't just believe that Jesus died on the cross for them, but actually believe they've received what he died for. Let's believe everything he did. Because he not only forgave all your sins, he healed all your diseases. And he brought you out and he brought you in. He brought you into where he is in relationship with Abba Father. You are actually one, as one with the Father right now as Jesus is. That not only Jesus lives in your heart, but Abba lives in your heart. You can't get any more one than that. This is gonna be a bit of a machine gun today. We're just gonna let it shoot here. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. We who have believed enter that rest. Now I want you to look down to verse 9, Hebrews 4, verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work. He rests from, I do, therefore I am. And he enters into the rest of, he did, therefore I am. I do, and if it's about what I do, what do you have to do? More. Do. That's what Paul called it. It's all dung. It's all doo-doo. It's all a waste. And we need to cease, you know, from trying to find our sense of value in what we do. Because that's already a done deal. Jesus did it all, therefore you have the value of Christ in your life that Jesus has. You know, the big thing that happened in 94, and I can remember very clearly, there were two groups of people that would come to these meetings. Those who had a hard time receiving, and those who didn't. And I really believe that the people who have a hard time receiving freely from God are still shame-based. They're still living by, I do, therefore I am. Those who have an easy time receiving from God are living by, he did, therefore I am. Oh! Of course I can receive this. I don't have to earn it. It's a gift. It's all a gift. It's an unmerited gift. I can't earn it. And actually, the harder I try to earn it, the further away I'm going to get from it. Whoa! You see, when we become Christians, it's like we still have one foot in each covenant. We're still trying to relate to God in an old covenant way. Thou shalt not. No, the new covenant says, he will. Not thou shalt, he will. Do it. You believe it, he will do it. You have a job as a Christian, it's to believe. To be a believing believer. To believe it's all true. Last April, Heather and I were doing a school in England that we do a couple of times a year, and I remember waking up this one morning, and the phrase that was on my mind as I woke up was this: you have to breathe, you have to believe. You have to breathe, you have to believe. And I hadn't seen before that believing is as important as breathing. Because what happens when you stop believing? You just try it. Try this week. Just don't believe God. We'll see how you are next Sunday. Depression. Life is overwhelming. I feel like I've got a heart of a stone. Oh, I have no excitement, joy, or anticipation, or expectation. I'm just ho-hum. Life is one, you know, one big drag. I'm bored. But as a Christian, we are called to be believing believers. And if we will continue to put one foot in front of the other, just believe what God says simply, every day, we will find we'll get to where we're going quite quickly. For most of us, it seems like it's one step forward, three steps back. Because we may not be aware of the warfare we're up against. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in a world that has a value system that says, I do, therefore I am. And it is exact opposite of the kingdom of God. He did, therefore I am. Over here, I'm striving to do more to be more. And over here, I'm resting because he did it all. Does that mean I don't do anything? No, in rest, I find out what the Father wants me to do. And in those works that he's got for me to do, when I cease my works and I enter into his works, they're fun. And they are effortless because I'm relying on the grace or his ability to do what I can't do myself. I know I can't do it. But in this world, you see, if I live under I do, therefore I am, and I'm not doing enough, what do I feel? Ashamed. Ashamed. Because I compare myself to other people, and they're doing more than me, so if they're doing more, they must have more value. It's a rat race out there, isn't it? It really is a rat race. It's one rat trying to keep in front of the other one. All running around trying to do more to be more. People go into huge debt just so that they can have a value system to others that says, I do more, I am more. I have more, I am more. Where in the kingdom of God, and this is the transition we're making, I'm not saying I'm all there yet, but I'm sure I'm away. This was a huge revelation to me. Because that simple billboard that I saw coming out of the airport in California is what dictates the life of most unbelievers and believers. This is in the U.S., not in Canada, of course. We don't have that billboard in Canada. Whoa! But listen to this. This is the verse I wanted to talk about. That seems like a paradox. In Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Another version says, let us strive to enter rest. Let us strive to enter rest. Oh, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. You see, if I live by I do, therefore I am, 99.9% is not good enough. If I live by I do, therefore I am, if I live under the law, I have to do it perfectly. I have to do it perfectly every time with a perfect motive. Wow, is that work or what? But over here, under he did, therefore I am, I'm in grace. And in grace, I get thousands of chances to get it less than perfect. Under grace, I'm relying on what Jesus did for me for my righteousness. And so I'm not worried about getting it perfect every time. Lord, I'm just believing you, and I'm going to try to obey your voice. I'm going to try to follow what you're telling me to do and where you're telling me to go. I had just a phenomenal experience a week ago as I've been looking to buy a new car, a new used car. And I've been spending a month just sort of looking at different dealers and so on and so on and so on. And finally, I was just so fed up because I tried to buy three different cars, and for one reason or another, when it came down to actually signing the bottom line, there would be something added to it. So I just thought, okay, Lord, I trust you. Where do you want me to go? And immediately, I was on my computer, I'm looking through AutoTrader, and I see this ad for this company I'd never seen before in Hamilton. And I just felt that's the one I'm supposed to go look at. And they had the car that I was looking for. So I call the guy up. And he was from India. He turns out to be a Hindu. And he's telling me right on the phone, up front, all the questions that I usually ask when I call a dealer. He's telling me everything up front I want to know. I want to know whether this car has been in an accident, number one. I want to know, has it been a rental? I want to know, you know, all these details of the history of the car. And it's only a two-year-old car, but a lot can happen in 2 years, especially when it's a rental. So anyway, I'm going through my, you know, he's telling me all the answers to all the questions that I have, and I can't think at the end of our conversation, is there anything else I want to ask him? No. He's just told me everything I want to know. God, you're amazing, you know. And I said to him, his name is Harry, I said, Harry, this sounds too good to be true, because you just answered all my questions. He said, well, you come down and look at the car, and the deal is not going to be any different than what I tell you on the phone. And so I'm like, I've got to go just to see if it's real, you know. So I go to see the guy, and he is just that way. He's so upfront. He's not putting any pressure on me to buy this car. He says, I got three other cars here that you might be interested in that are really good. But if that's what you want, take it out for a test drive. While we're on the test drive, he's asking me, what do I do? And I said, yes, the question. I said, well, guess what? I'm a son of God. And I travel and teach people about who they really are. I help them come into their destiny. I help them really grab a hold of, by faith, who they are, by faith in Christ. He said, oh, you're a preacher then. Yeah, I you could call me that. He said, well, I've just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He said, I've been fighting this for 7 years. He says, I've sold, you know, three different cars to preachers. And every one of them has prayed for me. Would you pray for me? And I, you know, I'm driving the car, you know, I'm hardly paying attention to this car at all. I'm just, oh God, you got this guy. And so we come back to the dealership. And, you know, he's about to get out of the car. And I think he thinks that, you know, when he asked me to pray for him, I was going to pray for him sometime down the road. But I said, let's pray now, Harry. And he said, now? Yeah, now. And so he's sitting there. I put my hand on him. And all of a sudden he goes, oh, the heat, the heat, the heat, the heat. And, you know, I kind of felt like that. I remember at the beginning of 94, I was going down the ministry lines one day with this 12-year-old kid. And, you know, who just got blasted by the Holy Spirit. And I took him with me as my prayer partner that night. And we're going down the row of each person, you know, as he puts his hand up to their belly button, boom, down they go, you know. And he goes, whoa! That's the way I felt. You know, I've got my hand on this guy, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing, Lord. And, you know, and that just opened things right up. Because he could just feel, he, you know. Yeah, so then, you know, we go to pick the car up, and I take this buddy of mine who runs the healing rooms in Collingwood. And you know, we go down together, and he drove me down. He's going to drive back, and I'm going to drive the car back. So we get there, and I introduce him to Harry. And I said, this is the guy I was telling you about, Ken, who asked for prayer. He said, oh, the heat, the heat. And, you know, so I said, how'd you like both of us to pray for you right now? And, you know, so so Ken's on one side of him. I'm on the other. We put our hands on him, and this guy starts to jerk, you know. Ugh, ugh. Oh, it was just incredible. What a riot. But I'm telling you, these are the works that God has prepared for those who will cease their own works, who will stop trying so hard we miss God, or so worried that you're not going to get it perfect, so why even open your mouth and talk to the person? Or what if God doesn't show up? I remember John Wimber saying, you know, if when you're praying for the sick and you're praying with the heart of God, if nothing else happens, that then they feel loved and that somebody cares for them. You've just crossed the Jordan right there. You've done a miracle. Well, don't get worried about whether you feel the heat or not. You know, just give it away. Just if you will live your life from rest, where you stop striving and you're worried about the results, whether they're perfect or not, you're going to find grace will just flow through your life effortlessly. And you'll be touching people unknowingly, because they come into the presence of God as soon as you're there, just because you're at rest, and therefore the Holy Spirit is emanating from your inner being. Wow. Hey. And that wasn't the pizza I ate last night. Don't worry. So there remains a Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. And for anyone who enters God's rest must also rest from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Does that sound like optional? Does that sound like an option? I'm telling you, what's going to hold you back from entering that rest is trusting in your works. I do, therefore I am. And striving to be somebody through what you do, rather than getting that ongoing revelation of who you are apart from what you do. You are a genuine son or daughter. If you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are completely accepted by Abba. And he sees you as the genuine article. You are his son or daughter, whom he says, this is my son, this is my daughter, whom I love, and with you I'm well pleased. For nothing you will ever do, all for what he did on the tree. Father, I thank you today for your amazing grace and the freedom that you bring in our lives. That, Lord, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And I pray that you will help us get the world's value system out of our lives. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can you just put that track 3 of that CD on for me? This is the third track of that CD. I just want you to soak this in. We could turn that up about twice that high. You have for your son. I receive your love, my heavenly Father. Through what Jesus has done, your sweet love is mine. I'm choosing to place my hope in your ability to establish your promises. You were causing to over. That's on this CD called Power Soaking Hope. And what I've been talking about this morning, coming out of shame into honor, is on that Unashamed CD, as well as the Glory of Sonship. So I just felt this morning, maybe there might be some of us, you know, we're feeling really out of rest. We're just striving or, you know, carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, trying to play God. Wow. He only has the big shoulders. We don't. And maybe you'd just like some prayer today to just kind of offload that burden, that unrest, and enter into the rest. So if you'd like that today, just come on up to the front. We're going to just worship a bit and pray for you. Wow. Let's just, before we start, just pray together. Wow. I'm going to lead you in a prayer just to help facilitate. You can pray after me. Father, I just stand before you this morning as your little child. And I admit I can do nothing apart from you. And I ask you to help me today to let go of everything that I've been carrying in responsibility, being overly responsible, all that's weighed me down, wow, and oppressed me, I release it today. I just let it go at the foot of the cross. And I take on my life today a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. I just step into the rest, whoa, of the Holy Spirit. Whoo, thank you, Lord. Whoo.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
forgive me for taking myself way too serious.